Loving God, loving people. Welcome to Shiloh Church in Oakland, California. Here's today's message from Senior Pastor Javier Ramos.
To understand what it is to set apart, if you look at that word biblically, it actually has to talk, it talks about being holy. And what is, and I think we as the church, even we as pastors and leaders and teachers of the word, you know, we make people think that holiness comes from doing. And really, that's a byproduct of holiness. And I would tell you today that it's not what we do that makes us holy. I want you to listen to this. It's where we dwell. And if you look in 1 Peter, the Bible talks about how we are called to be a holy, a priesthood, a chosen priesthood, a holy nation. And see, we work at being part of this nation first. Part of the people of God being better, doing better, you know, trying with our own efforts. But I would tell you today, that will come naturally as you dwell in the presence of the Lord. Because first and foremost, if you are saved, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a priest. You are part of the priesthood of believers. So a priest, what made a priest was the place he dwelt, was in the Holy of Holies. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to come and just dwell in his presence on a Sunday. He wants you to dwell with him each and every day of our lives. And that's what makes God holy. I want you to hear this. What makes God holy is his dedication and desire to dwell with you. So he stops at nothing to dwell with you. He sent the best he had to dwell with you. He sent Jesus to dwell with you. That's why his word, that's why everything he says is truth. He would never come against it because he wants you to know that everything he says is truth so that you desire to dwell with him the same way he desires to dwell with you. So holiness or living a set apart life has to do with where I dwell. Where do I dwell each and every day of my life? You can be at your job and be in the presence of the Lord. You can be on BART and be in the presence of the Lord. You can be in the worst traffic. Well, I don't know about that one. No. You could be in the worst traffic and dwell in the presence of the Lord. I want you to hear this. We've been on this theme of kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. I want you to hear it. His reign is here. The minute Jesus paid the price and shed his blood, his reign began. He is here. His realm is not here. When he comes back again, tell your neighbor, Jesus is coming back. Tell your other neighbor, he's coming back. Bible says it. I believe it. He's coming back. Jesus will return. Then when he returns, there will be a 1,000-year reign. So not only will his reign be here, but his realm will be here as well. His visible kingdom. But his kingdom is here. Though you don't see it, it is here. And all of the power that comes with it. All of the authority that comes with it. So as his priesthood, his holy nation, when you go on BART, when you're stuck in traffic, when you're in a long line at Pete's, you know that one where you barely get in the door and the door whacks you on the backside because that's how long the line is? Even there, you can dwell in the presence of the Lord, in the kingdom of God. You and I are kingdom people. And though today we're ending this series, this limitless series where we've just begun to touch on the theme of kingdom of God, I want you to continue to think about it and remember who you are as the citizens of God. See, we're called to glorify his kingdom. We're called to amplify his kingdom. We're called to unify the kingdom of God, and we're called to multiply his kingdom. And that all comes through people, through showing the same love that God showed us. allowing the love of God, the unconditional love of God, to flow through our lives. And there's something that's coming this year. I don't know how you've stepped into 2018, but even this theme, I want limitless to be the theme of your life for 2018. I know last year we gave you a chip for all in. Maybe we need to come up with something for limitless, because you need to walk it every day of this rest of this year, understanding the limitlessness that you have because of the kingdom of God. The access to the limitless power and authority and divine nature of God that you have. You need to walk it out each and every day. And it all starts from dwelling. Open your Bibles to Psalm 91. You won't have this on the PowerPoint because I haven't even touched my notes yet for the day. But I believe God has a now word. And I believe it all has to do with this Daniel fast. You know, we're on the 19th day of the Daniel fast. Come on, give it up. Amen. Woo! How many of you already got planned what you're going to do on the 32nd day, on the 30, what's, I don't think there's 32 days, on the 22nd day of this? I mean, we've already seen our numbers go up on our prayer line. We've had 35% increase on our prayer line, 7,990 minutes for this Daniel fast time. That's just on the prayer line. And I'm sure going on, that's 420 minutes a day praying just on the prayer line. So I'm sure we're covered. All 1,440 minutes of every day are being bathed in prayer. That's why God's speaking. Don't you hear him talking to you right now? Don't you hear the Holy Spirit messing with your agenda and with your plans? Some of you thought you were going to sleep through 2018, waiting for year 2020, and God saying, no, I got too much for you today. And if you dwell, so go to verse 9 of Psalm 91. We all know that scripture. First 8 verses are your homework for this evening. It says, it talks about he who does. But now we're, I like getting to the good stuff. How many of you like getting to the end of the book? So here it is right here. This is because you've dwelt. Psalms 91:9. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Listen to this. No evil. I want you to think about this. You could step into this year. You say, I'm going to dwell with you every day, Lord, whatever it takes. I got to get some earbuds. I got to do whatever. I got to find that moment. I'm going to dwell with you every day. Look what it says. Because you dwell with me, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, and no plague come near your tent. Some of you, when you get home, you need to open up here, verse 10, and walk around your house and say, no plague is coming into my tent. No plague is coming into my house. No plague is going to touch me and my people. Amen? No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you. Why? Because I've dwelled in the presence of the Lord to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Maybe 2017, 2016, 2015, you stubbed your toes all day long. The Lord saying, you're not even going to stub your toe in 2018. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you. If you dwell. Come on, if you dwell. Some of you sit with your family, you need to tell them, this year, we're going to dwell. We're not going to dwell on, what's some of those TV, bingeable TV shows? Friends and 90210 and, no? I'm in the wrong place. What's a bingeable show? Come on, give me one, come on. Simpsons, no? Am I like a few decades back? Next time I'll come a little prepared, okay, with the shows of today. What's a YouTube stuff? I can't remember. All right. Just dwell with the Lord. Binge on him. You got to give me some bad shows, Pastor Jules, okay? Throats? There's a show called Throats? No wonder I don't watch TV. All right, here we go. You will command your angels. Strike your foot against the stone. Verse 13. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent, you will trample under your feet. That thing that's been chasing you all last year and all this millennia, the Bible says that is under your foot. That lion under your foot. That snake under your foot. Amen? Because he holds fast to me in love. See, when you dwell in the presence of the Lord, you begin to understand the magnitude of the love he has for you. I will deliver him. Tell your neighbor, he's going to deliver you. Come on, tell your other neighbor, he's going to deliver you. Come on, give a 90-degree turn and tell that person behind you, he's going to deliver you. Cancer is going to go in Jesus' name. Come on, financial burdens, go in Jesus. Oh, you guys are good back there. Look, they got it up on the screen. Amazing people that Chavez is. All right. And when he calls me, I will answer him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Say, this is me he's talking about. This is me. This is God declaring this over you. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. You won't feel this year like you're walking through it alone. You're going to know God is with you, and he's going to give you the victory. Amen? How many people in here waiting right now? You're waiting for a good doctor's report. I just feel the Lord saying that. You're waiting for a good doctor's report. You're actually in the waiting season. You went to the doctor, and you're waiting for results. Is that you? Raise your hand right now. I want to pray. Lord, we pray right now for every person right now that is waiting for the results. Amen. I thank you. Some are even frustrated because the results have not come. And it is because the Lord would declare to you today, those are going to be good results. You don't need to worry yourself any longer. You don't need to be depressed any longer. You watch. And not only that, the Lord is going to redeem the time lost, all that time wasted at the hospital, all the resources wasted, copays and medicine. The Lord would say to you today, it is coming back to you. Amen. No more financial strain, even that thing that's been weighing on your shoulders because of these health issues. The Lord would say to you today, it's all going to be taken care of. It's all going to be taken care of. Miracles are going to be done in and through you, declares the Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 16, with long life. There's some of you in here, you're so worried you think you're going to die tomorrow. You wake up and it's like, oh my goodness, am I still alive? You stub your toe and, you know, you see you got a hangnail and you think you got cancer. Oh, my family this, my family that. You're no longer part of that lineage. You're part of God's lineage. You're part of Jesus's bloodline. Amen. There's a gift inside of you. Miracles coming. Long life is coming to you, declares the Lord. Woe here, not born in 1921. You heard her declaring today how good our God is. If you're 96 years old, if you hear a 96-year-old telling you God is good, well, let me tell you, God is good. Come on. God is good. Faithful. And does she always feel like doing what God's called her to do? No. Is that right? Well, what? Sometimes you don't feel like it. So we say, what do you do then? She says, I just do it. I just do it. Some of you, because you don't got a shirt that matches your pants, you stop doing what God tells you to do. Just do it. And watch what the Lord is going to do in your life. This is the year of just doing it. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing is going to hold the promises of God from being fulfilled in my life. And not only will he give you long life and satisfy you, the Lord says today, I will show you my salvation. You will know the salvation of the Lord. You will know what it is to be rescued. You know what salvation? It talks about being taken out of where you thought you were going. Come on, how many of you thought you were going to hell in 2017? Come on, before Christ, how about that? Before Jesus, you thought, I'm going to hell. Come on, I thought I was going to hell. And some of us were rushing there right away. But thank God salvation came. And that's not the only moment of salvation. God wants to save you from yourself. God wants to save you from your form of thinking, from your heart condition, for your ways of looking at things. God is saying, I'm coming to save you from your depression. I'm coming to save you from what others would declare over you. Every word that's not from God in your life, I'm saving you from it now, declares the Lord. But what do you have to do? Dwell. You need to dwell. Stop regurgitating back to those old things. Stop being like that dog and return into the old vomit. That's a nice kind of visual there, huh? Stop returning to it. The Lord's saying, stop looking at back and move forward in Jesus' name. See, that's our God. He's a multiplying God. He's a multiplying God. How many of you love math? Oh my goodness, less in second service than first. I got all my math people in the first service. I love math. Theories and graphs and formulas and this or that. But let's be honest, most people don't like math. Well, that's the good thing about the kingdom of God. The only math you need to know is multiplication. Because anything you do for the Lord, amen, anywhere you sow, anywhere you give your time, your treasure, your talents, you will see a multiplication. You will see it come back to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It then goes on to say in John 4:38 that I will send you to a harvest and to a field, and you will even reap where you have not sown. You will see fruit even where you've not sown. Why? Because you trust what the Lord is doing, and you begin to step out with what the Lord has given you. Tell your neighbor, you're gifted. Tell your other neighbor, you're gifted. And you got something I don't have. Tell your other neighbor, and you got something I don't have. If we at Shiloh in the body of Christ had the same gifts, this would be a church of one. We would be irrelevant. We wouldn't need each other. You would not be necessary. But every person here has been gifted. Amen? Now the enemy makes you think, oh, they got better gifts than you got. Their gift is bigger. Their gift is larger. Their gift is of greater value. But that's a lie of the enemy. Because God gifts you for success. I want you to hear that. God, when God gifts you, he sets you up for victory. Now, we want to get all the way to tomorrow and next year's gift, but God's saying, no, you got to work your gift now. The gift I have for you, you need to work now before you get on to the next season. And it's not just a gift. The Lord has tons of gifts for you. Your spouse is your gift. So you need to work that thing. Don't despise the gift. Work the gift. Stop elbowing each other. I saw that, Pastor Chris. You went like that to Pastor Kelly. Your teenage son is a gift. Stand up here, son. Yeah, get up here. Come on, jump up. Your dad, come on. I can do it. You should be able to do it too. This is my son. 15 3/4. But he's my gift. Now, let me tell you, there's times in life where your gift does not feel like a gift. Let's be honest. Actually, most gifts that God gives you will challenge you. Because it's from God. It's not something you could work and operate. You need God and his truth and his instruction and the Holy Spirit. You need his resurrection power. Amen. To come into you so you don't kill the gift. Because sometimes we could kill the gift. Come on. How many of you ever killed the gift? No. You never killed no gift. How many of you ever killed a teenage son? Just checking. But he's my gift. The Lord, I want you to hear this. The Lord has not called me to coddle him. Now, don't get me wrong. I tell him I love you. Do I tell you I love you? A bit too often? Yeah, a bit too often. I send him messages. I send messages through other people. I'll send smoke signals sometimes when he's on phone restriction. I love him. It hurts me more when he doesn't have his phone because I can't text that I love him. You know, I like technology for that reason. It hurts me more. It hurts me more, son, than it hurts you. He's my gift. And God's called me to father this gift. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to father the gifts within us. The Holy Spirit comes to help us father, to empower, to bring to life those gifts. My job is not to babysit him. I've heard dad say, I'm babysitting my kids. I said, no, you're not. You're fathering your kids. But I got to work this gift. Don't I work you, son? Yeah. I don't coddle this gift. There's times for that. But there's times I got to push the gift so that this gift becomes the gift within me. The gift God has given me becomes what God has called that gift to be. It needs to be pushed. It will be challenged. But it will bear fruit. My gift will bear fruit. Amen. He will serve the Lord all the days of his life. He will know God. He will do everything God has called them to do, or I'll kill them. No. Just kidding. I love my son. But this is my gift. I love my boy. I got a daughter out there somewhere. She's my gift. My wife, my gift. What are the gifts that God has placed in your life that you're not even working? You're too busy looking at somebody else's gift. Well, if I had them as my son, that I'd have a lot easier. Or if they got the opportunities. No, God set you up for success. When God gave me this son, he didn't give it to me so I'd worry about my past and look at what happened to my pad's sons or my aunt's sons or my relative's sons or other sons that were raised in Oakland or whatever. He gave me this gift so that he would shine for the glory of the Lord. And God would say, look what happens when you work the gifts I've given you to give. Come on. Some of you need to kiss your children right now. You're missing them right now. Send them a text. But he's a gift. He's a gift. Thank you, son. You can sit down. God's gifted all of them in order for me to become the person God has called me to be. Listen to this, because I'm going to mess up with all your theology. The only way I'm going to become the person God's called me to be is if I work the gift God has given me to work now. You will never become who God's called you to be trying to be somebody else. How many of us in the church try to live and be somebody else when God has not called for you to be them? Because if he would have called you to be them, you would be them. You're not them. Some of you need to just realize you're not that person. You will never be that person. God will give you what you need to succeed. God wants you to succeed. God wants to be glorified through your life. Open your Bibles to Matthew 15. I'm just barely getting into my sermon. Lord Jesus, help me. Verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. My son, that's not my property. I tell him that all the time, but I'm lying to him. It's not my property. God gave him to me. He's a gift. The Bible says children are an inheritance, a gift from God. He's a gift. Amen? So don't squander what God gives you. He entrusted to them his property. The gifts God's given you are not your gifts. They're his that he's entrusted to you. To one, he gave 5 talents. Now, see, we all start getting caught up with the number of the gift. You know, I like 5. I don't want 4. I don't want 1. I want 5. And to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. To each according to his ability. Did you hear that? Not because he loves you less. He gave you the gift he's given you according to your ability now. Why? Because he's setting you up for success. He's not going to give you too big of a gift you can handle to cause you to fail and stumble and fall. He's going to give you the gift he needs you to have now so that you can know victory in your life. Amen? And so that enemy will be scared of you and go off running. But some of us are so jealous with other people's gifts that we're impeding the gift God has given us from growing. We're impatient. We want that gift now. And we begin to make that gift happen. And that becomes a barrier from the gift and the promises and the multiplication of God from happening in our lives. For example, Ishmael and Isaac. God had a gift. He was going to multiply Abraham. But instead of waiting for the gift and the provision and God working everything out in Abraham and Sarah's life so that they could produce what God had them wanted to produce, what happened? They bring Ishmael. To this day, we're dealing with the Ishmael-Isaac dilemma. Every time you turn on CNN and Univision or whatever channel and language you watch it in, all you hear about is the Ishmael-Isaac problem. The war in the Middle East, it's all because of Ishmael and Isaac. You read the Bible, it said, because of this, these two nations will always be at odds with one another. So don't blame Trump. Blame Abraham. It's not Trump's fault. It was because he did not wait for the gift to come to what it needed to come. I just got you all mad at me. Now you're just thinking about Trump, and is that a toupee or is it not a toupee? Don't worry about that. Focus on Jesus. I can't get his hair out of my mind. All right, move forward in Jesus' name. I'm in trouble. If I tell you a secret, will you not tell anybody? Pray for me on the first full week of February. Pastor Melinda and I are actually going to go with him. We're going to pray with him. So please pray. Please pray for us, okay? Don't tell nobody. I don't want nobody spray painting Trump on my car. But we're going to go pray, and so just pray for us. That'll be on the Wednesday. I think it's February the 8th or something like that. So just pray for us, all right? Don't tell anybody. If you post this or Facebook it or tweet it or Snapchat it, what's the other ones, Pastor Jules? MySpace it, AOL it, and all that. Who? Friendster? I don't know, boy. So many of tweet it. Yeah, tweet it. Don't, please don't. Just pray for us. Amen. When I get a chance, I'm going to lay my hands on his head. Pray Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, move on. All right, where are we? Now, after a long time, the master of these servants came back and settled accounts with them. Oh, I jumped, Mr. One Talent. But he who had received the one talent, what did he do? He went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. I want you to hear what his master said. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Listen to this next sentence. You guys are thinking about more talents. This is the best part right here. Enter into the joy of your masters. Enter into everything that the kingdom of God has for you right now. What if the only thing that's keeping you from every provision the kingdom of God has for you right now is you looking at somebody else's talent, looking at somebody else's gift? And he also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your masters. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? You need the Holy Spirit in your life to multiply these gifts, and you will know righteousness, peace, and joy. He also, the one who had one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. Reaping, see, he didn't dwell enough with this king. He didn't know what he was like. He presumed he knew God. See, if you don't dwell with God, you won't know God. You won't know his heart. And there's some people here, there's some people online, there's some people who don't come to God because they view God as this horrible God that's out to get you any minute you fail. That's not the heart of our God. The Bible says, though the righteous should fall 7 times, what will he do? Pick them up. Get them back up. That's our ministry, getting people up. And that's what he'll do. He'll get them back up. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid. Now, we read some scripture earlier. The Lord said, you will reap where you have not sown. Right? Why? Because you know the kingdom of God. You know his principle. So you have sowed so bountifully, and you will therefore reap bountifully. See, this tends to be the person that doesn't dwell. The person that just comes in and says, you know what? This is my duty to do. Not the one who says, I want everything you have for me. You know, God wants you to pray, Father, everything your kingdom has for me, I want it, and I want it now. What would happen if you prayed that way right now? Everybody, eyes closed, hands open. We're going to pray that right now. Father, everything your kingdom has. You tell him that right now. Everything your kingdom has in this moment of my life, in this very instant, on what's this, the 29th day, 28th day of this month, I want everything you have for me. Everything you have for me right now in Jesus' name. So it said, so I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. You know how many gifts in this room are hidden? You know how many gifts are overshelved? We are the kings of excuses. I borrowed Pastor Melinda's list of excuses that she's heard over the years. And it's interesting. There's always an excuse to not serve the Lord. The enemy will give you all kinds of excuses. And these are some that we've heard over the years. We've heard the young people say, when I'm young, I'm young, I have plenty of time, I'll serve the Lord when I'm older. And then we hear the middle age say, I'm too busy with my job and kids, reaching goals, my career goals, I'll serve the Lord when I'm retired. And then you hear people say, well, when they're old, they'll say, well, I'm achy and breaky, and I'm worried that if I fall, I won't be able to get up. I'm tired. I'm going to let the young carry the old load. And we live this cycle and never see. And here we have all these gifts that we need. I need your gifts. Did you hear me? This person here needs your gift over there. We need, the world needs the gifts that God has given you right now. We need the gifts. We need those gifts. Those gifts were prescribed to you at birth. He placed them inside of you. Do you know everything you need right now to see victory and salvation and the next place and level God has for you in him, you have at your disposal right now. The enemy sold you a lie thinking, well, if I had what he's got, if my mama was that one, you know, if my parents were those, if I wasn't of this color, if my last name wasn't the last name I had, if I had straight hair or more hair, if I were bald like Pastor Chris, I'd have more chances in life. If I were blonde, if I were brunette, if I had wavy hair, curly hair, if I were only 6'3", no, 5'3", whatever excuse we make, But God's giving you everything you need right now to see the victory and salvation of God in your life. But what came after this man? Fear. And my Bible says he has not given you a spirit of fear. That is nothing but a spirit that comes over you. It's more than an emotion. It's more than a feeling. It is a spirit that holds you back from the provision and the opportunity God has for you now. Did you hear that? God has given you an opportunity right now. And if you listen to the Lord and you dwell with him, he will make it clear to you what you have, what you need. Say, so I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. And here, have what is yours. But his master answered him and said, ooh, it gets bad there. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I scatter no seed. Then you at least should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will, more be given, and he will have an abundance. We serve an abundant God. The Lord wants to give you an abundance. And I know right now you're thinking dollars and cents, but he wants to give you more than dollars and cents. He wants to give you an abundance of health. He wants to give you an abundance of peace. He wants to give you an abundance of joy. That wherever you're at in your life right now, you will realize it. Do you understand? Everything you need, you've got now. Whether you're in a valley, whether you're a mountaintop, whether you're in a difficult season, anything you need, everything you need to overcome, you've got now in Jesus Christ. Everything. Come on. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that right now. Everything you need. It's already been pre-deposited in your life. Every gift you need, every out you need, every bit of wisdom, every bit of counsel, every bit of victory you have right now. Right now. And the Lord's saying, I've given you something to carry. Stop living that routine, predictable, safe life. Stop living that life where you got no authority. Stop living that life where you think you have few resources. See, that's who those men were before Jesus gifted them. Before that, they were slaves. They had a slave mentality. But he came into their lives with a gift. He came into their lives with a moment, with an opportunity, with a chance of a lifetime. God's giving you that chance right now. Right now, yeah, play that puny, that piano thing. Yeah. And I hear the Lord saying right now, I want to guide you. Holy Spirit saying, you don't need anything else. All you need is my wisdom. You don't need anything else. All you need is my encouragement. All you need to know is if you failed, I will pick you up. Amen? All you need to know is if you feel dry today, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I will fill you up. You think you've got no good works in you? The Holy Spirit is here, and he's saying, I will equip you. And I'm here to forgive you if you have strayed. What you do in your life this year matters. It matters to your children. It matters to anybody who knows you. It matters to the community around you, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Creator. Right now, he's saying, I want to partner with you in this precious thing I've given you, and that's your life right now. Right now. Believer or not, he wants to partner with each of you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, he's saying, I want you to be a part of my family. But this is more than a salvation thing. And I'll tell you this, if you're coming here and somebody tricked you, they said they'd take you out to eat. After church, you go to church with me today and I'll take you out to eat. Well, we're on a Daniel fast, so they're just taking you out for some veggies. But however it is, you got here. And if you think that this God thing is just about getting out of hell. And that's not what this is about. Yeah, you're saved. You will not know hell. You will not know that. But you begin that purpose for which you were created. These gifts were put inside of you whether you believe in him or not. Bible says his gifts are without repentance. I want you to hear that. He doesn't feel like he squandered giving those things to you, those gifts. They're without repentance. Though it may seem like nobody's rooting for you, God's rooting for you right now. Though it may feel like nobody's standing with you, the Holy Spirit is standing with you. Every angel in heaven, you heard it. I read it in Psalms 91. They're there. They're ready. They're ministering. They're saying, I will help them. God will give them charge over you. Everything you need to know victory in your life right now, you can know if you allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to activate those gifts in your life. Amen? He loves you. I want you to see, it had nothing to do with the amount of talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, 4 talents, whatever. It had nothing to do. The talent had nothing to do with it. But when they met up with the Lord, they allowed the Holy Spirit, because we know he didn't give them instructions, said double this thing. It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus said before he left, what did he say? I'm going to leave you a comforter, an empowerer, so that we can live this life of victory. And he brings that multiplication in our lives. It's not something you just know how to do. It takes the Holy Spirit inside of you. But look what happened when they allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and activate those gifts. What happened? Multiplication. They doubled their gift. Forget the amount. It was doubled. It was doubled. It was multiplied. That's our God. That's the way his kingdom works. Why? Because he wants to amplify his kingdom. He wants to overpopulate his kingdom. He wants to be glorified through your life. He wants to do such incredible things in your life that you can't take credit for them. He wants his fingerprints to be all in your business. So you say, this is all I could do, but look what God did in me. That's the story he wants you to share. It wasn't me, it was God. It wasn't me, it was his Holy Spirit. And as I said earlier, God is coming back. Jesus will return. He will return. And I don't know about you, but I want to see everything God has for me in this life. Because I know in the next life, he's got bigger things. Eternity's even going to be sweeter. But I know right now he's got great things, amazing things, and big things in my life and in your life. But we need each other's gifts. We need it. We need it. Do I believe that the church can solve the human trafficking issue in the world? Yes. Do I believe that the church has the solution for hunger? Yes. Do I believe the church has the solution for racism? Yes. And I believe those gifts are in each one of you. I believe in this room, there's a business idea of how to get people off of the streets, how to feed every person, how to provide books for schools in this room. But we allow the enemy to put us at the place where he wants us to think. We don't need to think the way he does. We need to have God thoughts, God ideas. And the minute that fear comes in, we need to say, forget fear. I'm going to look at the gift. I think that was the difference between the one who had one and the ones with 5 and 2. It was that they didn't look, they were afraid. But it was, they said, let the gifts of God, let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in my life. Spirit of fear, you are not in my life. The minute fear comes over, you need to say, leave me alone in Jesus' name. You know, right now I hear, everybody stand to your feet. I just hear the Lord wants to break that off of some of you right now. Right now. There's even some who've begun, you started to move forward in the ministry and business idea. Altar ministry, come up, because I believe God's doing something right now. If that's you, God's given you a ministry. Listen to specifically. God's given you a ministry or a business idea, and it's come to a halt. And if you look at it, it's because of fear. No other reason. It was moving fine, and all of a sudden, boom, it came to a screaming halt. If that's you, come down. We want to pray for you right now. Come down, come down. Real quick, if that's you, just come down. Don't worry about anybody else. Just come down. We're going to pray for you. I believe the Lord's going to unlock some stuff here. You know how many testimonies? Remember last year as we were ending the year, we were talking about God's not done yet. You know how many stories and testimonies we heard about people, God doing things on the last day of the year, 3 weeks before the year ended, 2 weeks before. Come on down. Come on down. If that's you, come on down. You know what God's told you to do something, and fear. You were worried. I mean, fears like these. This is what I'm hearing the Lord say. Where am I going to get my health insurance from? You had funding. You had everything. And actually, somebody here, somebody else spoke fear into your life. Well, I know so-and-so. They tried that, and that failed. And you stop because somebody spoke a word of fear over your life. If that's you, come on up. Just come up. Come up. We're going to lay hands. Any other pastors and elders, come on down. Because I believe there's more people coming. Even right now, you're afraid to step out. The Lord's saying, no, I got more for you. As we give some time for people as they're coming down. Even relationships. There's some people here, the Lord's wanted to gift you with a great relationship, but you have self-sabotaged those relationships because of previously failed relationships. If that's you in this room right now, come on down. The Lord wants to heal you of that. Even some generational trends where family, parents, loved ones, you saw horrible, abusive relationships, and the Lord's saying, I want you to step into a good one. There's some healing I want to do in you first. That will come, but allow me to minister to you, declares the Lord, and watch what I'm going to do. Generational curses will be broken off of your family's line. Come on, if that's you, come down. I want you to hear this. Don't move. Don't move. God's doing some stuff. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God permeating society like yeast permeates bread or the dough, and how it goes into the leaven. And there's some people here. Listen, in your career, in your workplace, God's giving you some ideas. And co-workers have shut you down, and fear has shut you down. And the Lord has even told you, you're there as a solution. You're there to change the atmosphere. I've put you there. And when you begin to speak with the authority and the wisdom God has for you, breakthrough is coming through that company. They're struggling just because you have not allowed the gift that God's put in you to be put on display. If that's you, come on down. Come on down. Amen. Anybody here who says, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus, could you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Because I believe God wants you to be a part of His family. We're going to pray together, every eye closed, every head bowed. Come on down. Just come on down to the front. Don't wait in the aisles. Jesus, we thank you for coming to this world and dying for our sins. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I don't want to live my way. I want to live your way. I want to be known as a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom of God. So help me to stop walking down the path I've chosen, and let me to walk the life you have for me, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Senior Pastor Javier Ramos. We invite you to join us at Shiloh Church for worship, prayer, and the message of God every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or watch us online at shilohchurch.com.